Just so that we can capture all of the comments that you guys have and add them to our Smart Scale comment list. All right. Okay. So at this time, I'm going to I'm sharing my screen. I hope you guys can all see it. Just nod yes if you can to confirm for me. Thank you. All right. And I'm just gonna make this small here so I stop looking at myself. All right. And I'll begin our presentation. So thank you so much for coming to our meeting today. This is our Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordination Committee or Working Group, the name changes. Just to give you a quick overview of the agenda, as I stated in my email, we're gonna dedicate this first hour actually just to the Route 20 Shared Use Path Smart Scale application. I'm gonna start with a brief presentation and from there we will lead into a discussion that can take us all the way up until 11 o'clock. From there, the committee has some work, some standing work to do, including reviewing the newest map for the Fifth Street Smart Scale application. After that, we're gonna work on our, just a check-in about the VDOT inventory project and our One Map project, since those things are very much related. And finally, we'll do, with whatever time we have left, we will do a round table from staff at all the localities. Okay. Okay, so the purpose of today's meeting is really threefold. One, I wanna give everyone who has comments and concerns and questions about the Route 20 project the opportunity to raise additional concerns or ask additional questions. I wanna reiterate that anything you've stated previously in the public workshop or by email or by phone call, all of those concerns have been recorded and are part of a summary list of Smart Scale related comments, but feel free to revisit those questions or comments if you want to state them again. That's not a problem. We also are hoping that we will get feedback regarding the TJPDC public engagement process. This is something that's coming up in our public work program or our work program for the coming fiscal year. We want to improve our public engagement processes and make stuff more transparent to the community. So any feedback you have will be very useful and will be part of our conversation in the coming fiscal year. And most importantly, I want your help to develop a plan for how to proceed, especially if the project moves forward. How do people want to be included in the future? When do we want to see public engagement? When do we want to see public engagement prioritized? Those kinds of things. All right, let's see, and a note. So please make comments, recommendations, or commitments on behalf of an organization only if those comments, recommendations, or commitments are officially approved by your organization. If they're not officially approved by that organization, just clarify that they're your own personal comments, recommendations, or commitments. And this is just intended to ensure clarity in the record. That's it. Okay. So first, a few common misconceptions that have come up in previous emails, calls, and comments. First, we cannot replace the Smart Scale application at this time. We can remove it, we just can't replace it with a new project because we've already submitted our pre-applications and only projects that have been submitted as pre-applications can eventually be submitted as full applications. So again, can't replace it, could remove it. Other alignments that have been suggested do not meet Smart Scale criteria and or are too expensive to realistically be considered for Smart Scale funding. These are the alignments that you guys mentioned in our May 13th public workshop, but also alignments that staff suggested when we originally started talking about the Route 20 Shared Use Path project. Lastly, long-range planning, like that done by the Jefferson Area Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan, groups projects into tiers of relative priority. Although projects may be numbered, like 1, 2, 3, 4, they are not intended to go in strict numerical order. Projects are chosen based on a variety of factors that might include other projects that different localities are working on and how we can best leverage resources we have and other projects that are going on to make something cohesive that works for the community in the best way possible. Okay, and then a lot of your other comments from the public workshop and from emails questioned the history of the project. Where did this project come from? Why did we pick it? Why are we moving forward with this one? So I wanted to go spend the rest of my presentation going over the process history. How did we get this project? And this is an overview. We're gonna go letter by letter to describe this history, but basically we started with a long-range plan a long time ago, and eventually we would work our way through a series of decisions and public engagement and design processes to implementation if that's where this project takes us. Okay, so first, the long range plan, the Thomas Jefferson area bike and pedestrian plan. The creation of this version of the plan began in 2017. It was a collaboration between the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission and Piedmont Environmental Council. As stated in the plan, the purpose of the plan, the Jefferson Area Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan is regionally focused and intended to help build and implement bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. The plan seeks to encourage implementation by providing a focused list of regionally significant bicycle and pedestrian projects that enhance connectivity and provide routes to important residential and economic centers. So as they worked to create this plan, and I say they because this project was done before I started at the TJPDC, the folks did not only think about what projects should be built and how they should be built, but how do we pick the right projects to be built? And in that process of, as they were thinking about the process, they came up with four process goals. And the one most relevant to what we're talking about today was goal four, to encourage public participation. And this wasn't just the check the box on public participation. The Thomas Jefferson Area Bike and Pedestrian Plan really, really focused on making the public participation effective. So here is a quote from the plan itself that said, "The development of the plan included a robust public participatory process. This process was made possible by a partnership between the Planning District and the Piedmont Environmental Council that secured local funding from the Charlottesville Area Community Foundation for an extensive public engagement process. One key output of the plan is for the engagement and advocacy process to continue to make progress on implementing regionally important bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure connections." So basically, there was money to do the public participation right, and that greatly contributed to the projects that were chosen for the plan. The plan was written and approved by the MPO Policy Board in February of 2019 and the Planning District Commission in March of 2019. A connection from the city of Charlottesville to the Saunders Monticello Trailhead is highlighted in Chapter 8 on page 77. And if you want to read the whole plan, you can take a look at our website and find a link to the plan there. All right. From there, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordination Committee, or Working Group. So this working group began, it's my understanding, as part of the Thomas Jefferson Area Bike and Ped Plan creation process. They needed to bring all of the folks together who worked in bicycle and pedestrian stuff, bring them together regularly to have conversations about how this plan was proceeding. It's composed of staff from TJPDC, VDOT, City of Charlottesville, Albemarle County, University of Virginia, and some other organizations are invited as needed, depending on what's being discussed. After the plan was created and approved, the monthly meetings continued as a way to give staff the opportunity to work through technical questions and identify ways to collaborate across jurisdictions. All right, so then feasibility studies. So a little background on feasibility studies. Every year, or every so often, VDOT funds a small number of feasibility studies for projects that have been identified in long-range planning documents, such as the Jefferson Area Bike and Ped Plan. When you do a feasibility study, the end product is not a final design, not even close. It's just an assessment of whether the project is possible from a transportation planning and transportation engineering perspective. Again, is it possible? Not, here's the final product. A feasibility study anticipates that there will be public engagement in design if the funding is awarded. just a reminder that it, if you're joining us, please mute until it's your turn to speak. All right. When VDOT gave our region the opportunity to choose some projects or propose projects for feasibility studies, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordination Committee was well suited to make that decision. They picked two from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan. One of those was this project, a bicycle and pedestrian connection on or near Route 20 between the City of Charlottesville and the Saunders Monticello Trailhead and PVCC. It's my understanding that the reason that project was picked is because it complements projects, bicycle and pedestrian projects being done just to the north of it by the City of Charlottesville and just to the south of it by Albemarle County. If you're curious, the other project picked was a bicycle and pedestrian crossing of the Ravanna River. Okay, so the results of the Route 20 Shared Use Path Feasibility Study were presented to the Coordination Committee at our December 2019 monthly meeting with a follow-up at our February 2020 monthly meeting. For both of those meetings, additional local organizations were invited. The local organizations that were invited were just the ones that we thought of at the moment. So we apologize if anyone felt left out. When staff saw the feasibility study, they did suggest alternative alignments and asked a lot of questions, but it was clear to consultants and to VDOT and eventually to staff as well that alternative alignments did not meet VDOT requirements for project endpoints or for cost, among other factors. Another thing that came up in the discussion with VDOT about this process was that in the future, with feasibility studies, we would like to start public engagement a little bit earlier, not having just invited organizations, but doing perhaps surveys or public workshops or other things to get people involved a little bit earlier. Okay, so after the feasibility studies were done, presented, we had had a bit of time to digest them, the localities had to make smart scale pre-application decisions. So a little background is that localities, the PDC, and the MPO can each submit up to 5 pre-applications, but ultimately can only submit 4 final applications, of which they had to be part of the pre-application phase. So basically you can do 5, but only 4 in the end. So one of those would have to go if you did submit 5. Albemarle County requested that the MPO apply for the Route 20 Shared Use Path project in mid-March. They requested that because they had already used up their 4 applications and the MPO still had space to, had a remaining slot in order to make that pre-application. Okay, and then this is where public engagement began. There's 2 main forms of public engagement at this stage. The projects for which the TJPDC and the Charlottesville Albemarle MPO plan to apply were summarized in documentation sent to the Citizen Transportation Advisory Committee, MPO Tech, and MPO Policy Board for March meetings. This documentation was not just sent to them, it was also posted online and referenced in their meetings. There's a little asterisk by the Citizen Transportation Advisory Committee because if you'll recall, in March, we had a lot of changes to our lives with COVID-19. CTAC, which is the shortened version of that, the shortened version of their name, CTAC did not meet either in person or virtually. We just sent out materials and requested that they respond with any comments or recommendations. MPO Tech and MPO Policy Board did meet virtually. Additionally, we held public workshops on May 13th for the TJPDC and Charlottesville Albemarle MPO projects. On the 14th, we also hosted a public workshop on City of Charlottesville and Albemarle County projects. I just want to call attention to the fact that the first bullet point is something that we always do. We always summarize these projects and send them to the appropriate committees and make sure that they're publicly posted. That's something that we always do. The public workshops were new. It was something that we've never done before, but we do plan to do again because it was so successful in getting so much feedback. All right, coming up next would be localities have to make their smart scale final application decisions. So in order to move from the pre-application phase into the final application stage, applications must be reviewed and approved by VDOT. Chuck, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then the applying entity and the locality in which the project is proposed must both offer a resolution of support. So for the Route 20 project, the Charlottesville-Albemarle MPO is the applying entity. The locality in which the project is proposed is Albemarle County. So this project will need a resolution of support from both the County Board of Supervisors, which will vote on this project later this month, and the MPO Policy Board, which will meet in July. Final applications are tentatively due August 3rd. Next, if the funds were awarded, if we were given the funding to proceed with this project, we would proceed into a design phase that is heavy on public engagement. So the design phase is currently estimated at about $1 million. That's what we put into our pre-application. That's how much it would cost, but we will have more informed estimates for our final application. This step, the design step, is when we would seek input from landscape architects and arborists and other professionals who can knowledgeably address project challenges. Again, that was not something that was part of the feasibility study. It is part of the design. Details that have not been addressed in the existing preliminary design would be addressed at this step. That would be things like drainage or underground utilities, things like that. And there would be public engagement throughout. Public engagement might look like surveys, public workshops like we held on the 13th, and it would definitely include presentations to our Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee, MPO Technical Committee, and the MPO Policy Board. All right, and from there, once we would have a suitable design, we would move into implementation. If after I'm done with this presentation, Chuck, if you wanted to jump in with any timelines for when money is, when announcements are, or when money would be obligated for construction, what kind of timeline we would be looking at, that would be helpful. But that's only if we make it through all these other steps. All right, so that's the end of my presentation, and I'm just gonna leave this here for you for a moment. Again, the purpose of the discussion and I hope where your comments begin would be to raise additional concerns, ask additional questions, offer feedback on the public engagement process, and again, most importantly, help us develop a plan for how to proceed, especially if the project moves forward. All right, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen so we can all see each other again. All right, and Dominique or Lucinda, did I miss anything in the group chat? Looks like I missed quite a bit. Let's scroll back up.
Jessica, can I just give a little more background while you're looking? With the bike ped coordination team, the bike ped plan was endorsed by the county in August of 2019. As a comp plan amendment. This is before the feasibility study, so just basically the proposed projects within the plan. And the way that these projects, like the Ravenna River Crossing and Route 20, was the city, and we were looking for city-county connections. And so that's how some of these projects came about, which were filtered to be potential feasibility studies.
Great, thanks, Dan. Any other comments, especially from staff who, have been involved in this process since before I came to Charlottesville? Welcome to add anything. Chuck, did you want to add anything about a timeline, like when money would be obligated, when construction might begin, things like that? Okay, not hearing. Yeah.
Jessica, do you want me to read the questions from the group chat?
Sure, that'd be really helpful, thanks.
Okay, so Bill Emery is asking if the Ravenna River Crossing feasibility study is available.
So Chuck, I'm hoping you can jump in on this a little bit. The Ravenna Crossing feasibility study, I'm not even sure if it's done. We got a preliminary presentation from them at our March meeting. They were not done at that time. Chuck, do you want to fill us in on how the consultants are doing right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can. You hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, they're still working on that process, and we should have it sometime this summer. I mean, with all the smart scale stuff we're working on, that's probably sitting on a burner waiting to be finished. But we will come back with the final, with some more information and get some additional feedback before we would wrap up the initial study. I think the documentation that we were looking at had two really alignments defined. One was from the park and one was from Wolin Mills crossing the Ravanna. The Wolin Mills seemed to have the more support from the group, but we were looking at the two different options. So once we have some more information, we will be providing that to the group to review before we finalize that feasibility study. But we're also looking at providing some, what the structures are going to look like and the types of facilities that we could provide on those structures. So, but like I said, more to come on that one. The other questions, I'd like to, on what Jessica said, this is just a request for funding. We don't have a final design, we have a concept. What I want to hope from you all is that I get your feedback so that when we finalize the estimate, we will make sure we're going to include enough money in the project to address any concerns you have. And then we can work with you, if it's selected for funding, to address all those concerns. And that's something I want to stress. It's we can't look at a different, we're not going to necessarily look at a different alignment, but there's a lot of things that we can do and we can include in the project that will even further enhance what you guys have already started to do. Add more trees. We could add additional stuff along the outside of the corridor. There's a lot of avenues that we could look at to try to further facilitate what you all have started. And I just wanted to stress that. So instead of, how can we make it better instead of not doing it at all? And that's what one of the things I wanted to stress. And if through the, if it is funded through that engagement process, we can get something that you guys want that or enhance what you've already started. The other thing is I wanted to stress is if it is funded, generally funding for smart scale applications doesn't come online for 5 years, but depending on, we have to shift funding around, we could start it earlier. So we're still talking definitely some time out, and even construction might be 6 or 7 years out. So depending on how the design goes and making sure that we can get everything addressed. So those are a couple of things I wanted to stress moving forward.
Great, thank you, Chuck. Lucinda, you want to read us the next question?
Yes. So the next question is from Nipot, and it says, I find it hard to understand why the Charlottesville area tree stewards were not involved in the early stages of this plan. Our name is prominently signed on the median. Why was this ignored?
So thanks for your question, and I'm going to take full responsibility for that. It's my job to invite people to these coordination committee meetings. I'm really new to Charlottesville, so I moved here in August. You just weren't on my radar, and I'm so sorry for that. And in the future, you know, I'm going to know this place better, and we'll be able to invite the right people as we move forward. The other thing I want to stress is we still are in the early stages. As I pointed out, you know, all we have is a super preliminary idea of where this project is going to go. And we have a lot of wiggle room in designing it in the right way that meets everyone's needs. Maybe not a lot of wiggle room. We have wiggle room where the design is yet to happen. And we've heard that the Charlottesville Area Tree Stewards definitely need to be involved, and we plan on doing that moving forward.
I apologize for breaking in. If I need to wait to speak, I will definitely back away and wait my turn.
No, go ahead.
My name is Dan Holmes. I'm the director of state policy for Piedmont Environmental Council. I've been with PEC now for 20 years. I live in Culpeper, so I do not know all the specifics and all the details about your community, and therefore I will only speak to what I do know about. I do want to stress, well, one, let me start off by saying my background is landscape architecture. I was trained at a very small school up in northern Massachusetts that focuses on ecological land use planning and design and the use of native plants. You know, I'm committed to the environment. I'm committed to protecting our history. That's just my own personal background. But getting more into detail about PEC, I do want to just make a quick or point out a couple of things. One, Piedmont Environmental Council was there at the inception of the Journey Through Hallowed Ground. Our commitment to the history of this area and the natural beauty of this area and the natural systems that sustain us, I think is clear by our work over the last 50 years. We're proud of that history. And again, we stand by it. And I think that our work is a testament to what we've done to try to protect that history and elevate that history to make sure everybody understands the importance of our region. From what I've seen, I do acknowledge that when a line goes through an area where resources that people have committed time, energy, and effort into, it's quite concerning. I understand the frustration of the tree stewards at this point. And I guess what I wanted to say is that I do think that there is a commitment. There was a commitment to look at all our alternatives to this project and trying to figure out how we can provide a connection that's been a longstanding priority for the community. Unfortunately, some of the costs and other barriers to other options are fairly severe. And I think that there are others on this call that can better go into those details. So I won't try to say why option A or B was not viable in the next decade. But we do see this as probably being one of the only potential connections we could make to that resource of Monticello in the next decade. I also want to say that, you know, had it but for PEC, I don't know if the Journey Through Hallowed Ground would have ever gotten off the ground. You know, we're still involved in that organization. Matter of fact, our president still has a seat on that board. It is not something that we take lightly. And the memorial nature of these trees, beyond just the natural systems that the trees support, is we recognize their importance and they are not to be treated as just any other tree. I think that PEC is committed to seeing a project that preserves as much of the hard work of the tree stewards as possible, that treats these trees with the appropriate respect. And I understand that's hard to take right now, but I do ask for patience and understanding that we truly are at the beginning of the design period. You know, there's all types of things that can be done to minimize impacts. There are all sorts of things that can be done to mitigate in a way that respects the memorial nature of the trees, any that are that would be lost as well, you know, that perhaps would even provide additional tree cover and greater benefits or recognition of the historic nature of this landscape. I think PEC is committed to that. I don't say these things lightly. I am personally committed to that. And I just want to say that this, I think a design always benefits from the entire community being involved. And I hope that those with the knowledge of both what has occurred in that median, as well as were involved in the original design of that, are going to weigh in and ensure that whatever design comes out of this process, you know, is the most sensitive and respects both the moral nature of the trees as well as the overall landscape. I understand that, again, I'm an outsider, so I can only say, I can only speak on behalf of the organization I represent, but I do speak, again, with 20 years of history of being in that organization, and I would say I would not still be here at this organization if I didn't believe that the commitments that we make can be trusted. So I know that that's not going to alleviate all the concerns on this call, but I did think it was important to point out, you know, we personally, our organization, is committed to ensuring the best design comes out, and a design that would come out that would respect everyone that, that is in the room and reflect the input that's given by all parties. So I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make clear, you know, our personal commitment both to the journey through hallowed ground, the landscape, the hard work of the tree stewards, and ultimately this project in ensuring that a sensitive design comes out. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dan, for those comments. I think that was really helpful. Lucinda, do you want to move forward with questions from the chat?
Yeah, and I also want to suggest that if people would like to speak on the phone or video, they can raise their hands. And if you're on the phone and not through the video, you can press *9 to raise your hand and then we can call on you. So the next question is a comment from Peter Krebs saying, hopefully live even on site events at the time. And I think he's talking about more the future public engagement events with this. So that's just the comment. And then also from Peter Krebs, the bike ped plan was appealing because it prioritized city-county boundary conditions where there are many gaps. That's why the Coordination Council is doing this. The city is handling the Monticello Ave bike lanes themselves and 20/53. MHS is a pure county project. And so the next question is from Bill Emery. And
hold on 1 second, Lucinda. Sure. I just want to give Peter an opportunity to add a little more to those comments.
Yeah, so if you look at the projects that the Coordination Council is heavily involved with, they tend to be these projects where neither the city or the county or the university can handle it alone. So that's why this project is being looked at. That's why the Rivanna River Bridge is being looked at. That's why the Fifth Street Trails is being looked at, because those are all city, county, and it's thanks to the TJPDC that we sort of will stop having this gap along all the boundaries of Charlottesville and Albemarle County. That's harming our community.
Thanks, Peter. And Lucinda, before you read the next one, can you just add Dorothy Smith to the list? I saw her raise her hand.
Okay, yeah, I'm not seeing any raised hands.
It was more of a, like, this kind
of thing. Oh, okay. Yes, I will do that. Okay, so the next one is from Bill Emery. Has the Bike Ped Committee walked the route from Druid to PVCC?
I think that's a great question, because getting out there and ground truthing is a really essential part of the process. Unfortunately, with the current COVID-19 situation, I haven't been able to get out there. I have two little kids, and I wouldn't take them out in the middle of that median right now. I just want to emphasize that, you know, we have people who would be part of the design process to ensure that the crossings to get to and from the median would be something that made most people feel comfortable using those crossings to access the trail. But I want to give an opportunity to any staff members who have gone out and ground truth the area. If anyone can speak to that, that'd be great. Peter, go ahead.
The answer to Bill's question is absolutely. So the Coordination Council, for example, includes Chris Ginsick. I can think of few people who are more familiar with that landscape actually than he is. Dan's here, can't speak for him, but I know he's spent quite some time down there, myself as well. So we are aware of the imperfections of the landscape. This was not a blind decision, although it's not a perfect idea either.
Kevin Fairman, I'm transportation planner here with Albemarle County, and yet I'm on the committee as well, and I have walked that and biked it a number of times. And also reiterate that the team that was looking, that produced the concept design report had also walked it numerous times.
And this is Chris Genzik here. I'm on both the tree stewards. I help literally plant the trees, and I'm coordination committee, so I'm kind of straddling the fence and being real careful to look at the design and looking at the trees, still waiting to see real technical things, and have put some ideas forward to the technical team, like what if we did an 8-foot trail, what if we did this, that still needs to be worked out in terms of fill dirt, actual locations, but I'm trying to kind of straddle the fence on both sides and make sure that, both the walking, biking, and tree people, we can all potentially come to an agreeable solution that doesn't, neither one necessarily gets everything out of it. So yeah, thank you for noticing that, Peter. But yeah, I'm trying to be a bridge at staff and as a steward level here on this project as it continues to develop.
Anyone else? All right, Lucinda, you can go forward with the next question.
Okay, and I just want to note, if you would like to raise your hand virtually, if you click on the participants, if you go on the bottom of your screen, you can see the participant list, and at the bottom of the participant list is a little hand. You can click on it, and then we'll see that you're waiting to speak. So the next question in the chat box is from Nipot. If you change the topography of the median, you will kill the trees. Adding to the soil to fill the ditch and adding the curbs will bury the trees.
Great, so I appreciate the insight that you have. I think that we would want to hear from, maybe you are a professional arborist or landscape architect, but those are the kinds of people that we would bring to the conversation if the project is awarded funding and we move forward with design. At this point, our understanding is that this statement is not entirely true, that there are ways of moving forward with the project that could prevent, that would allow many of the trees to stay or be relocated. And Lucinda, if you could add Dan to the end of the list and keep moving down the questions from the chat.
Yeah, and I'm gonna call on Dorothy Smith because she has her hand up and had already raised her hand earlier. Dorothy, if you can unmute yourself and then go ahead with your comment or question.
So I think the perception of cats, which includes a number of really professional arborists, is that there is no way to, the plans as they now stand do cause the death of the trees or their relocation, which is sort of the same thing. Going back to the process of this, my understanding was after the April meeting of this committee that the committee was told to somehow alter the plans to accommodate the trees, and that has never happened. The only thing that we have to deal with is the plan that we now have, and it's very sketchy on the trees, makes no accommodation for them. And I think that's what's made the whole thing very frustrating, is we keep hearing, we love those trees, we're gonna work with those trees, we really want them to stay, but there needs to be a plan that actually addresses those issues. If we wait for 5 years until the money comes in and then the trees are relocated, they won't survive the relocation. And this is the result of a lot of people's technical input into this. And regarding the, we need a professional, we were also told at the April meeting that the committee would recommend and would be delighted to have an arborist on the committee. We came up with some notable local names, and I had no way to figure out how to present those people to the committee. Does a person have to be invited? Do they have to be appointed? So we were asked to do that, provide a recommendation for a tree person in April, and we're just unable to do it through not knowing what the process was. And also unable to go back to our notable local arborists and say, here's how much time would be involved, here's what you would need to present as far as credentials. So I think that's what's made it very frustrating, is that we hear all this talk about caring about the trees, but the plan hasn't altered in the slightest to make that possible.
So thank you for those comments, and I hope I can address all of it, but you know, let me know at the end if I haven't answered all your questions. I want to reiterate that we are still at a super preliminary stage. There have been no changes to the design as it's been presented, because we haven't made any changes to the design. We don't have the funding to make any changes to the design. If I remember correctly, Dorothy, I think you sent me an email with some recommendations for the arborist, and I've cataloged that away. We're just not ready to move forward with bringing arborists or landscape architects to the table, because again, we don't have the funding to move forward with the design. That is something that we would do later. It's a step that we're not quite ready to take. However, the preliminary work we've done of talking with staff is that we think that there are ways to have the project move forward with keeping the trees or relocating them. Although I have made a note that, at least for you and perhaps other members of the tree stewards, that relocation feels similar to the death of a tree. So that's something that we need to think about moving forward. Are there any staff members who want to speak to any of the alternatives we've talked about? I know we've bounced around a lot of different ideas. None of them have been investigated to the level that we would say this is the design plan we want to move forward with. But maybe people want to share some of the ideas that we've talked about. I'm thinking like lane narrowing to expand the median, things like that. No, I think the reason staff don't want to or aren't ready to speak about this is those ideas just haven't been investigated fully. And again, that's something that comes with the design and public engagement process, which would only come after funding's been awarded.
Jessica, this is Chris. I do think I've done these federal trail projects before. We have requested that an 8-foot width be allowable. That's the minimum width you can do. I think that would be one thing to have somebody go through at a professional technical level and say, if we go to 8 feet, how does that change the location? Like you mentioned, maybe you can narrow the road, get some space, and what does that do to any potential digging, filling, changing of slopes? So that's one design recommendation I'd like to explore, is what if we went to an 8-foot in this corridor? How much impact does that have on the overall limited space that we have in this area? But I'm not technical enough to know about fill cross slopes for trails, but that's one potential design improvement or alteration.
Kevin McDermott, I'll jump in real quick also to build on some of what's been said. You know, there is still a little bit more work being done by the Department of Transportation investigating this project. And part of the reason for that is because after listening to the comments that we've had, we recognize that there's additional issues we need to address. And that's, you know, I think it speaks a little bit to the way this process is actually working. That initial concept design, nobody really had a lot of feedback in that. That was an engineering activity where they went out there and they looked at that, and then we come back and we start giving input. The trees were identified early on, and that's something that we're working with now, and we're trying to figure out how we can get this in. We are looking at things like lane narrowing. I know there's a lot of comments out there about that it's not a comfortable path for anyone to walk or bike, or right now it doesn't feel safe. Well, part of the purpose of this project is also to try and do a little bit of traffic calming out there. So doing things like lane narrowing and other improvements, additional landscaping as well, we hope will make this a little bit more of a comfortable path for people to walk or bike and reduce the speeds of the traffic out there as well. Because that does help. I don't want Jessica to take that entire, the entire brunt of not identifying cats. We all should have, and it's not that I don't think we did. We all knew that cats was there, like it came up multiple times. We failed to reach out directly to you and bring you into the process. And as from Albemarle County, I apologize for that as well, but reiterating that this was really early in the design. This is just the way the process works. There's always some early on activity that happens that tends to be at a staff level. And then once we have it to a certain point, we bring it out to the public. And I think that's what we've done here. It's invite the public into that at an appropriate time. And there's a lot of work left to be done. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Kevin. Chuck, I wanna call on you for a minute if you wanna describe some of the work that VDOT is doing as you help us prepare for our final application. Chuck has to do things on the phone, so it might take a minute. We'll give him just a few more seconds. Okay, while Chuck's joining us, Lucinda, why don't we move ahead and go to the next chat question?
I'm on.
Oh, Chuck, go ahead.
Sorry, I have to unmute two places, and it's like not really convenient. Yes, I know there's one of the issues I know that came up that we heard from Chris and some of the other people, Kevin brought it up too, was there's utilities out there in the median. And part of the reason why some of the trees are located where they are is because you guys had to work around where the utilities were. I know as part of our project or this project, if it's funded, that could be something that we could move. So it's not an impedance in the median. And that would give us full utility to actually work in the median to develop a corridor that's going to look the way that you want it to look. It's good for if somebody wants to drive by, but I mean, if you're not driving in your car, you're not going to go out there and see the corridor. So you're limiting the impact to just the people that drive to the interchange or through the interchange. And that's only a certain portion of the population. If the connection's made, then everybody can experience that process and what you're trying to accomplish instead of just the people that drive cars. And I think that's part of what the plan is trying to accomplish. Part of this is right now we did a feasibility study and said, okay, we can put something here. One of the changes that we've made, I know at the northern end, where we crossed the Moores Creek, we found that we would have to, the original alignment that's shown in the study shows it using the existing southbound bridge as the crossing. Well, when our bridge section looked at that structure, we're going to have to basically rebuild the deck of the structure, replace one of the parapet walls because of the needs of that structure currently. So it's cheaper for us to go in and put in a separate structure between the two for just for bikes and pedestrians. That's one of the changes that we've made, we've considered and we're looking at including with the concept. The biggest thing that we need to know at this point is this something that you guys want to do? And then what items do you want to include in it? And how much, so we can get an idea of how much it's going to cost, because we need a sketch and we need a cost estimate to apply for funding. All of the rest of the details we can work out. I just need to get an idea of what the costs are going to be so that we could get it in the estimate. So when we get it funded, we can evaluate all those things and get your input on how you want this to look like and what you want to add. Somebody said that there's some additional trees that need to be planted out there. All that stuff could be included with this project. I just need to know from what those items are so that we can include them. And that's basically what I wanted to say.
Yeah, just to summarize what Chuck said, what I think the most important point Chuck said is we don't need you guys to come up with solutions. We need you to identify the problems so that we can ask for the funding to create those solutions. So that's, I think, perhaps the most important thing Chuck said there. All right, Lucinda, I'd like to give us a little bit of time to go over our 1 hour limit, but I'll try to be as succinct in my answers for the rest of the questions that have popped up in the chat.
So Jessica, in the interest of time, we have a lot of comments in the chat and people have also been answering the comments in the chat. And we will be able to have a record of the chat. So I'm going to suggest that we only read the questions so that they can be answered by the experts that we have here. And then the comments themselves will take into consideration after the meeting.
Sounds great, thank you.
Okay, so the next question is from Bill Emery, and it is the slope from Druid to Quarry Road ADA compliant?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to. Chuck, are you aware of whether or not it is currently ADA compliant, or do we need to do something to address that issue?
Well, I mean, if you're following the profile of the road, you can go up to like 8%, I think. Generally, it's 5% for a trail that's not on next to a roadway. Along roadways, the grades are more similar to what the road profile is.
Great. And just to add that, you know, if it doesn't meet ADA, that would be part of the design process, is figuring out how to make it compliant. All right, next question, Lucinda.
Dorothy Smith has her hand raised, so I'm gonna acknowledge Dorothy and you can unmute and speak.
Does this funding application have room for choosing another route altogether? And are there any other routes under consideration?
It is my understanding, no. You have to have a sketch of the project. You have to have clearly defined endpoints, and we have to stick to them once we submit our final application. Chuck, you're the Smart Scale expert. Have I said anything? Have I missed anything?
No, that's pretty much it. That's what we're trying to do, is define the basic concept of the project and identify enough details that we can put together a detailed cost estimate for the project without a lot of engineering that's involved. We do enough to where we can get enough details to put together the cost estimate. And so that's what we're working on right now, is refining the cost estimate to include any details that we need to. So if it is selected for funding, then we have the funds available to start looking at what we've got to do to implement the project.
Thanks.
The next question is from Peter Krebs, and it's, is there a way to guarantee that the leadership team include a tree steward in their design? Or their designee, somebody designated.
Yeah, so I think so. I think that the most official way we could do that is with the resolution of support. I can ask that the MPO policy board include that. I don't know if that's typical. Chuck or Kevin, do you have any other ideas, you know, other than us, you know, Scouts Honor, we will include someone. What else can we do to officially guarantee? I mean, it's something that it's someone that we definitely want included in the conversation. So there's that.
as the project moves forward, there'll be plenty of opportunity to get feedback, and we could utilize either this committee or any kind of group. We're not going to have monthly panel meetings or anything like we've done on some other projects, but there'll be plenty of opportunity to include feedback during the process going forward to make sure that we're going to address your concerns. And that could be put in some of the initial verbiage of the resolution, or possibly in the we'll have to work with the county and the, on most of those details, because most of the stuff we're doing is the VDOT project, but we're doing it for the county.
So yeah, we could include it in the resolution of support, and that would be the most official way to do it. Go ahead, Lucinda, with the next one.
Okay, this is from Peter Krebs. I'm not sure if I'm reading it correctly. Is there a way to pull the project? Oh, no, wait, that's sorry. The next question is from Alan. I missed one. Vertical cross sections had to be developed to calculate fill and fill costs. Why are not those cross sections available?
Chuck, was there some very basic cross sections included in the document that the consultants shared with us? I can't recall.
We don't have survey other than what anything that might have been previously done when the interchange was built. So we don't have cross sections. That's not something we do at this stage. That would not be done until the preliminary design would start after it was funded. We're just estimating it based on engineering judgment at this point.
The next question is from Peter Krebs. Is there a way to pull the project if, even after all the designers do their work, the project doesn't meet some mutually agreed condition?
All right, so Chuck, I'm gonna throw this question to you, but it is my understanding that if we had to, we could pull the project and we would not need to repay any funds, but Chuck, you're the expert.
This is this is a project that's submitted by the regional body or the locality. Generally, I don't know how many of these we have, but we've got to go through a public participation process, and we've got to get approval through that process. So if we don't get approval, I'm not sure what the end result is. If the locality or the regional body doesn't want to pursue the project after public involvement, if we spent resources on it, I think the policy says that the resources have to be paid back. How that happens, I don't know, because we haven't had any situations like that so far. So that's all I can say at this point. I think Shane is on. Do you have any thoughts on that, Shane or Carrie?
This is Shane. I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but as Chuck said, if there's not local support for it, for the project, it will not proceed. So again, there'll be public input opportunities, so that is something that can be fleshed out during that process.
I'll quickly add to that we are working on smart scale projects right now that were submitted a number of years ago. And obviously, following the awarding of funding, there was a public input process on those. It's actually still going on with public hearings. But once a proposed final design was determined by VDOT on those projects, it did come back to our Board of Supervisors for a resolution of support on the final design on those projects. We did approve that resolution of support at the time for all those projects. And so I can't speak to what would happen if we said no. That would have to be a conversation, but I can say that if the county said no at any point in time, there would be a pause on it, and we would start reevaluating how that project was developed. I know VDOT is committed to that public input process and working closely with the localities. They're not going to force a project down the county's throats that the county doesn't want in the end. So we would have opportunities to make those decisions, and I think that we have opportunity to follow up.
Kevin, I'm sorry. People are saying in the chat that they're not able to hear you. I can hear you, so I'm not sure. Jessica, can you hear Kevin?
Yes, I can. I think I see a lot of people shaking their heads. Yes, they can hear him.
Okay.
Okay, apologize if that wasn't entirely clear. You're always welcome to reach out to me in the future and follow up. But like I said, the county will have another opportunity to pass a resolution of support for this project before it goes, not only before it gets submitted as an application, but also before it goes to construction. That's been a consistent thing that we've been asked for from VDOT, and we would work through issues if we had them at that time.
Oh, okay. Ann needs the phone call-in number. Dominique, can you type in the call-in number for this call in the chat, in the group chat, please?
Sure, one second.
Thank you. And the next question is from, thanks for the strong verbal commitment to the trees. In regard to the various alternatives that have been presented to study in concept design, lane narrowing, median widening, utility moving, additional guardrails, additional planting, in order to save the trees, how do you get those costs into the smart scale application without referencing a revised design?
So I think Chuck has kind of answered this broadly before. The costs that go into the application are estimates. These estimates are created by VDOT engineers and other staff. They have a lot of experience with making these educated guesses, and that's where we get our cost estimates. Chuck, it seems like it's my understanding that we just don't have the resources to dive more deeply into every single project before we know whether or not we can move forward with it. Is that right?
Yes, we have limited data. We know the utilities are there. We have our utility folks look at those, and they basically give us a cost for what the utility relocations would be. The other items, when they add them, we have unit costs for those items, and we can add those unit costs in for the guardrail, for any widening, if we move narrow the lanes, those can all be estimated based on per foot or linear mile determination, and that's how we come up with a cost. For most of the landscaping and the tree removal, we would add in a cost for that. And that's something that we probably need to get more defined on what we feel the costs are gonna be, because to make sure we include enough cost in that item to cover what we need to do in the future for this project. But those are some of the things that most of these items we are comfortable with developing. I know for the city project, we had a landscaping item that was added to the project that covered the landscaping for the ramp improvement project. And that was a separate project just for the landscaping. So those are some things that we can include. And they are including landscaping with this project. I just need to make sure we have enough money to cover what we want to do with this piece of the project so that we have enough cost to cover those expenses.
Thanks, Chuck.
The next question is a comment from Supervisor Donna Price from the Scottsville District, and I believe it's a question. Many comments have been made regarding the trees. a little from Mr. McDermott has been said about traffic itself on VA-20. What has been the thought process regarding getting the median crossings over at Quarry Road, the exit from 64 West southbound, VA-20, the entrance from northbound 20 onto eastbound I-64, and then crossing VA back to the west side of the road to connect to the Saunders Monticello Trail?
These are really great questions, and they are things that have been discussed by the Bike and Pedestrian Committee, and they are questions that would have to be answered adequately in the final design process. Just really briefly, I'll give you my own personal planner opinion. I'm a really big fan of activated crosswalks that would stop traffic to allow pedestrians and bicyclists to cross Route 20. But I think that there are a lot of really good options out there, and we would make things work within the budget that we request.
So the last question that I'm seeing is from Mr. Emery. And the question is it the county's decision or the MPO policy board's decision?
So I'm guessing that you're meaning the decision to proceed with the project to get the resolutions of support, and that would be both.
You may not listen or talk until the host releases the hold.
I'm sorry. I got it, Jess. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. We would need a resolution of support from both entities. Just one or the other would not do. We'd need both.
That's the last question that I'm seeing. There's quite a few comments that we'll take, look at and put into the public record.
Great. And one thing I wanted to add was that this isn't the end of the conversation. I really do want to thank my fellow staff at the TJPDC, because we're going to host yet another public workshop just for this particular project. We're planning on hosting it on the 25th. It is on our website right now. It also means that the existing location that you may have gone to for the May 13th meeting to add comments directly onto the website for the Route 20 project will remain open for a few additional weeks into July. So you have the opportunity to continue to make your comments online. Join us on the 25th. And this does not have to be the end of the conversation in total, but it does have to be the end of the conversation for today. So thank you again for all of your comments and your consideration for the project. I do think that we can move forward in a mutually agreeable way. And I really appreciate your time today. So from here, we're going to move into our regular Bike Ped Committee agenda. Everyone is welcome to stick around or not, but we'll just be moving forward. Okay, so Bike Ped professionals, let's talk about the Fifth Street Smart Scale application. I'm going to share my screen, and you will be able to see the most recent map that VDOT has created. All right, so if everyone can see it, shout at me if you can't. It looks a lot like what we had originally submitted with the pre-application. The only thing that you'll notice is that there is no longer any indication of the path that goes under the Fifth Street Station Parkway. So keeping in line with what we've said already, that path currently exists in a recreational form. And it will continue to exist in a recreational form, and people will be able to access it, but it will not technically be part of this project. One of the nicest things about that is it would dramatically decrease the cost of the project, because we don't have to worry about that grade separation and all of the financial challenges that would come with that. Chuck, is there anything that you would like to add about this project and where we are at this point?
I think that the northern piece, there's a revised concept. It's almost the exact same. There were two things. I know the switchback down here at the bottom that goes back up to Wegmans, it's changed a little bit. And then we eliminated the piece north of Fifth Street Station Parkway.
Okay. So
because basically my thoughts on that were, it would be better to do this as a separate project that would start here and have a logical termini somewhere else, either out to Fifth Street or possibly over to Avon Street, instead of just stubbing it out there. So we're going to focus on this the piece from basically the trailhead here at the new commercial area to Fifth Street Station to Wegmans.
Okay.
And I can send you the new sketch. I just got it probably last week.
All right.
With the changes. But it's basically the same design, except we made a few changes down here. Let me see if I can pull it up and I can send it to you right now.
Okay. Are there any comments from committee members who would like to talk about Fifth Street right now?
Can you hear me? This is Amanda.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. So the portion on the north side would be removed, but we're still looking at Fifth Street from the new Starbucks to Fifth Street Station Parkway, where you're drawing your line, and then what's going up to Wegmans. That's what we're considering the project. To make sure I understood that right.
Yes, you have that right. So just okay. to reiterate, from here at the Starbucks up to Fifth Street Station Parkway, this stub out will not be there, and then this Chuck did say that there were some changes to the particular alignment here.
Right.
But otherwise, it still takes us up to Wegmans Way.
Okay. And was that sidewalk, I can't remember, that sidewalk along the street station, perfect. Basically, when the trail gets up to the street station parkway, there is sidewalk that people can access heading back towards the street in order to cross the street station parkway.
Oh, that's a great question. Does anyone else remember? Would we still need to create some sort of mid-block crossing to get to a sidewalk, or was there a sidewalk there? I don't remember either, Amanda. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
We're going, if there's not a sidewalk there, we will add the sidewalk necessarily for that connection.
Okay.
That's great.
Out to Fifth Street.
So you're saying you would add a sidewalk on the southern side?
There's a sidewalk on portions. I think it's there, but from what we've seen, I don't remember being from going out there if it's complete all the way up to beyond that one entrance to the gas station. Beyond that, I don't know if there's sidewalk, but we would connect to whatever's there to make sure that people from the trail could get to Fifth Street on sidewalk without having to cross the road.
Okay, and sorry, my last question or comment with that one. I don't believe there is a pedestrian signal head or push button. There's the marked crosswalk, but I don't think it's activated. Is that something that should be included as part of the project? If that is sort of the intent to allow people to be able to cross there at the light.
I don't think we looked at that. I know we looked at it as part of the Fifth Street study, but as part of this project, we didn't look at that specifically. So I don't know. If it's not there, it's something we could probably include to make the conductivity. We didn't realize that. It's not something that we picked up.
Okay, so maybe that's just a note for the folks making that cost estimate to add another, you know.
We could add signal modifications at Fifth Street and Fifth Street Station Parkway.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. That'd be great.
Anything else, Amanda? No, it looks like you just muted yourself. Anyone else have comments about this project? Great. Well, that was quick and easy. I'm gonna stop sharing my screen. All right, if you think of anything else regarding Fifth Street Station Parkway or Route 20, please just send me an email. Moving on to our VDOT bike infrastructure inventory. So I apologize. It looks like the links that I had originally sent you guys expired, but I've reactivated them. So you should be able to use the links that have been sent in any of the emails that I have sent you about the inventory to edit the inventory. But I think we still have Shane here. We still have Shane here. If anyone has any questions about how to proceed with that inventory, now would be a great time to ask them.
This is Amanda again, sorry. I did most of the city online or on-road bike updates. Bill, I see you're on there. There were a number that were labeled as city but are actually more UVA. So hopefully you've gotten a chance to kind of take a look at those and update as appropriate. Things like, I don't know, McCormick Road or Lee Lane, you know, all of those. So they're kind of bunched in there as city, but are actually UVA. Also, to clarify, okay. I deleted a bunch of duplicate things, which I hope was the right thing to do. I assumed that we were just capturing existing facilities, not any sort of proposed facilities. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct. We're trying to get a current accounting of what is out there so we can look at any areas that need to be connected, do a network analysis. So yes, if there's something that is, we will look at proposed facilities in the future, but for our purposes right now, we are trying to get an on-ground accounting of what is there.
Awesome. Okay. And then the highlighted, there were some things up at the top that were kind of highlighted. Was that something that I needed to pay attention to, or was that like, don't fill anything in that category?
I think it was things that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that refers mostly to things that we need help from the localities that we can't pull without doing, you know, going out in the field ourselves and finding. So again, okay. One of the major things that we are looking for is width of facility.
Right. Okay.
That is crucial in any analysis that we do. We just can't run much of analysis without having width data. And also we are looking, we're looking to see if there are any facilities out there that don't meet standards. We have found that some localities are calling a facility a bike lane when it does not meet any type of standard. So again, we're just trying to highlight these things and just do a full accounting of what is actually on the ground.
Okay. My last question related to this, and I'm sorry for all of these, but I know it's important to get the input correct. So when you're talking about left side or right side, you know, to me, you know, when you're traveling in northbound direction or whatever direction you're traveling, the bike is always going to be on the right side of the road. Is that accurate, or is it like looking at north, you know, if you're traveling north south, or looking at a map that's portrait, you know, right side is one side, left side is the other side? I just want to make sure I'm inputting the data correctly.
Yeah, it is a little confusing because we're trying to hang everything off of the center line, the V.LRS. However, there are situations where you on any given road where you may actually have a bike lane on the northbound direction, but not have one on the southbound. So again, so we're basically trying to see. Or it could be that there's a bike lane on one side of the road in one direction and a shared lane marking on the mm-hmm. other. So,
okay.
So again, we're just trying to be as accurate as possible. So yeah, if there is a difference in the facility, we're trying to capture that.
Got it. I guess what I'm saying is I found that while I was putting data, almost everything, I felt like I was putting everything on the right side, even if, you know, if I'm looking at it from a north-south direction, in one direction, well, I wasn't sure if there should be a left side when you have a road that got it on both sides of the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can follow up with you on that. I'm not sure exactly what, but like I said, it does get a little confusing because if there are differences in what's on either side, we, in terms of mapping that, it does get a little confusing. So I can understand the issue you have, but
yeah. So I wound up, like, let's say, for example, I'll use an example, Harris Street. So it's a climbing lane. We've got bike lanes on one side for some portion and Sharrow's on another side for a portion. So I wound up creating two lines representing each direction of travel. So one represented northbound and one represented southbound, in which case the bike lane where it was present was on the right side in both cases, if that makes sense. And maybe that's not what you wanted.
Yeah, I think you are definitely hitting on some of the difficulties in, because in the VDOT system, that is basically shown as one line.
Okay.
Which would be the center line. So I think what we are going to do, and just send us the information, and what we're going to manually digitize all this into our geo database. So we're just looking for the information. So if you don't necessarily have to map it per se, you could just put it in the comments section of the spreadsheet or and so again, we're going to go back in and we'll manually digitize all of this. And I think in those cases, what we will do is we will probably put the highest accommodation, meaning again, we obviously can't put both on the same segment. So that's, again, just a limitation of how we're doing it. So we'll probably do some symbolization to make note of that. But I think you're going... you're doing the right thing and giving us as much detail as possible, and we will just have to address some of the ways to symbolize and map this. It's not a perfect system by any means.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I'm sorry to beat a dead horse. I just want to make sure that we're getting you what you need.
Those are great questions, and it sounds like you're working hard, Amanda. Thanks. Any other questions from anyone else?
Sure. Is there, since it sounds like I need to take a look at this and make sure that the university's facilities are captured, as few of them as there are, is there a deadline that we're looking at to get this done by?
There's no hard and fast deadline. Again, we understand we're putting out the ask and we're adding, we're basically adding work on things that you guys are already, you already have a plate full of things to do. So whenever you can get around to it, it would be great. I mean, obviously, whenever we receive the information, we will update our database. This is not intended to be a static database. It will constantly be updated based on feedback received. However, the online map, we don't update that on the fly. We usually do that about quarterly. So just send us your input. We'll put it into the database, and then about every quarter or so, the actual public interface, the public facing map will be updated. So,
okay, thanks. Well, since Amanda's working on it, I feel like I should get it done sooner than later. So thanks.
Well, we will appreciate it anytime you guys can get it to us. Like I say, it is a dynamic. Hopefully it will be changing a lot. That means, folks are actually putting in facilities upgrading.
Yeah.
So again, if it's static, we're probably in trouble because that means nothing is being done. So,
okay, thanks.
Great. Anyone else? All right. Yes, we'll all work hard, and hopefully you'll see a lot of stuff from us soon, Shane.
Like to mention that the Fifth Street Project Survey is open. So, we're getting back to the other project. There is a chance for public input. I encourage folks to do so.
Great. Thanks for the reminder.
Thanks for the chime-in on that. We should be posting the recording from the public meeting for the Fifth Street study. Should be up by the end of the week. So if anybody missed it and wanted to go back and listen to it, it should be available first part of next week at the latest.
Great. Okay. One map updates. Any questions, any updates, especially from the city about what you're looking for or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think, I know the county got their stuff, right? The, Bob, Chris, I think we might still be waiting on trails. It looks like, I don't know if it was updated in the BDOT stuff, and then we just merge it all together. I guess, Bill, also we would need any UVA updates as well.
Yeah, for the county, we did send to Bob, to the city, basically our data ready to merge. And so we're just on ready to, you know, have that kind of be merged with the city and UVA. But then internally at the county, we're looking to set up the script. So any updates that we have would be updated to what is going to be being merged into this regional data set. But I'm also just kind of going, not to go back a step, I'm looking at the Virginia Bicycle Facilities map, online map, and I'll have to discuss with Shane. I do see some segments that could be updated, just kind of are from working with the one map, just kind of see that we could probably collaborate on that. What looks like some, maybe I think private facilities or even the facilities themselves, some trails, some alignments and stuff. So maybe I'll have a discussion with Shane on that.
Yeah. As far as one map goes, it's Bill Palmer. I believe I submitted our data to Bob as well, and I don't think there'd be any updates at this point. So that's where I thought things were at with it.
Okay, I'll check with Bob and make sure. Chris, are you Chris on there? I guess he's the only other one that we need to coordinate.
Great. Okay, I think that concludes our inventory and one map updates.
There's a chat question about that.
Oh, there's a chat question. Who will be hosting the one map data? That would be the city is hosting it. Amanda, if you wanted to explain in greater detail exactly what that means. And is anyone planning to make the data available through a mobile platform? Again, that's an Amanda question.
I kind of thought that we started all of this, that the PDC was kind of hosting the data. We're kind of being the one that's collecting it and getting the script so that it's all in the one spot. But then PDC was going to be hosting it. And I think the intent was that it would be on, an open data portal so that people have access to it. I don't know that, I think when we got started on this project, I thought that the PDC was kind of, was going to be the host and sort of all of us were going to work together to kind of figure out whether it was a physical map, whether it was online, all of those sorts of questions. So I think the first step was getting all the data in the same format and published somewhere together. So.
No, that's absolutely right. I had forgotten that you guys are pulling it all together. We were going to host it. Sorry, Rip, that's my new answer.
But you're not both, you're both right, actually. I mean, I think the agreement was that it would be part of the city's open data portal, regardless of where it actually lives, right?
I think that whether or not it was part of the open data portal was still, we weren't sure how we were going to share it with the public, right, guys? Because we also weren't sure which pieces were going to be shared with the public, because there was some internal stuff that people wanted to keep internal for planning things and
hidden fields or however that needs to work, for sure.
But I guess I'm also just a terrible person to answer this question because my technical knowledge is limited, so we we have the technical people who can host it and do whatever exactly that means. And we'll let the technical people talk. That's why there was Bob involved too, from the city. Okay, anything else? All right, so that concludes our agenda item on inventory and one map updates. Lastly, I just wanted to give a little space for some roundtable. We've talked about the Fifth Street survey. Everyone should share that as widely as possible. Anything else people want to talk about or share?
Yeah, I'm curious, is there any update on the Moore Creek revenue sharing project? Has that been officially funded, or you know, have you gotten any official word on that? And is there work we need to do on the city's end to, you know, make sure we've got funding available if that's needed?
That was, I mean, we're still waiting for the results.
Okay.
And I think more of like, I think Chris and Kevin have been knowing that we need to get the discussion going for the agreement with that. So I haven't been the lead on that.
Anything else?
Yeah, Jessica, I was curious if anybody had any information about the status of the Old Ivy Road bridge replacement or perhaps repair design process, and whether there's any prospect of a genuine bike ped facility on that crossing.
Thanks, Rip. Yeah, the county has definitely reached out to VDOT to share our concerns. A board member requested us to look into this. What can the county do? So we expressed that interest to VDOT and asked what else can we do, and also asked VDOT to provide with us how they took public comment and evaluated that in the design, and we're waiting to hear any update with that.
Thanks, Dan. Anything else? All right. One thing you'll notice for all of the folks who received a calendar invite to this meeting, Chuck did just send out the newest Fifth Street Station Parkway or Fifth Street Hub and Trails map. So you can take a look there in your email for that newest map. Let's see, I think that's it. Shane just unmuted himself. Did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would like to note that we do have 5 active trail counters out in the Charlottesville and Albemarle area. So we'll be happy to, the data is available publicly. It's not complete data, but if anyone would like the detailed data, which breaks down the actual mode share and the time of day, we'll be happy to share that with anyone. So just let me know and I can get you that data.
Great, thank you, Shane. All right, last call, everyone. Any other comments or questions or anything? Okay, I think that concludes our meeting. Thank you again. I know it was challenging to have so many people on the call, but I thought we did really well. I think we got some great information and we have a plan for moving forward. All right, if you have anything to follow up with, please feel free to send me an email or give me a call. Otherwise, have a great week.